Billy Graham, in his biography, recounted a story of when he first started his crusades in South Carolina. The very first day he wanted to mail a letter, and he didn't know where the post office is, and he was walking on Main Street, so he stopped the little boy and he asked the little boy the directions to the post office. The little boy gave him the directions, and afterwards, Reverend Graham asked him, "Would you like to come to church today to learn how to get to heaven?" The little boy paused and he said, "No, thank you. You don't even know how to get to the post office." So, dear sisters, the post office is here on Walnut. You go two blocks up, make a left, right. It's on three blocks down. It's to your left. How to get to heaven today, we're going to rely on St. Andrew Kim and his companions, who in that opening collect, we asked that we would profit from their example. In the verse before this gospel passage that we just heard, Jesus predicts what was going to happen to him. Intense physical suffering, mental suffering through toil, with total rejection by the leaders of his own people, and a brutal execution. But all this would lead to the resurrection, to new life, that can never be taken away. He goes on to say, as we heard, that anyone who wants to be one of his followers, his disciples, and to carry the theme of your assembly, to be experts of communion, must be prepared to walk the same path, carrying the cross after Jesus. Perhaps we should emphasize that we are to carry our cross, which will be different from the cross of Jesus and from that of other people. And St. Luke adds that this is something that we must prepare to do every day. Of course, it is a call that goes against many of our normal instincts as human beings. Renouncing self goes against our desire to advance ourselves in the eyes of others. Who does not want to preserve their life? Self-preservation is a deep instinct. But self-preservation is not the same as self-advancement. Jesus is saying that a life spent focused only on ourselves and only on our advancement is ultimately a recipe for self-destruction. We're bound to be disappointed. And we know that from personal experience if we're honest with ourselves. The only way to live is like Jesus, offering our lives for the benefit of others in love, in care, in communion, and in compassion. This is the only true way of finding ourselves. What good is it for winning the whole world and to lose one's integrity, one's self-respect, one's dignity as a person, one's eternal happiness? Our world, and Christian and otherwise, is covered with statues and images of people who gave their lives for others, for causes and values greater than themselves. They are our heroes, our models. They are our saints. First among them, of course, is Jesus, dying in absolute apparent failure. Now we see the cross as victorious symbol, as the greatest love that one can show to his brothers and sisters. We see this truth lived with remarkable poignancy in the lives of the Korean martyrs. I think it'd be interesting to note that in the late 1700s, some of the educated Korean lay people found some books from Jesuit priests who were missionaries in China that were left in Korea. And because Korea was so xenophobic, it didn't allow any foreigners in the country, much less missionaries. But these lay people, searching for the truth, found that the truth had a name, Jesus Christ. They baptized each other and tried to live the faith as best as they could. Finally, missionaries were smuggled in, and they, missionaries, to their surprise, had found that there were already 4,000 Catholics present. And these Catholics knew how to live their Christian faith, and they were willing to suffer for their faith, to put up with their cross daily, and even to die. There were six ferocious anti-Christian persecutions between 1791 and 1866. None of them had completed the purpose that the Korean authorities wanted, intimidating those who remained to stop practicing their faith. They continued to persevere. Today we celebrate Andrew Kim, who is the first Korean, native Korean priest. At the age of 15, he was identified by one of the French missionaries priests as someone who had a vocation, and he was sent to walk by foot some 1,000 miles to study in the seminary in Macau. While he was away, his father, a convert, was tortured and martyred. Andrew Kim returned in order to spread the faith and would die in the persecution in 1846. Now, while he was in prison waiting his execution, he wrote a letter to those whom he served to strengthen them in their faith and to align their lives with Christ. He wrote, quote, what good would their baptism be if we are Christians in name only and not in fact? We would have come into the world for nothing. We would have entered the church for nothing. We would have betrayed even God and his grace. It would be better never to have been born to receive the grace of God than to sin against him. Then he went on to say that their faith must influence the way they live, especially as they pick up their cross. And he called them to be models of Christ and his life. He continued, my dearest brothers and sisters, when he was in the world, our Lord Jesus bore countless sorrows and by his own passion and death founded his church. Now he gives an increase through the sufferings of the faithful. No matter how fiercely the powers of this world oppresses and opposes the church, they will never bring it down. Ever since his ascension and from the time of the apostles to the present, the Lord Jesus has made his church grow in the midst of tribulation and suffering. For the last 50 or 60 years, ever since the coming of the church into our own land in Korea, the faith has suffered persecution, and over again it has grown. Persecution still rages, and as a result, many who are friends in the household of the faith, myself among them, have been thrown into prison, and like you, are experiencing severe distress. But as the scriptures promise, God numbers the hair on our head. And in all his all-embracing providence and love, he has care for all of us. Persecution, therefore, can only be regarded as a command or a prize that he gives those he loves. Hold fast, then, to the will of God, and with all your hearts fight the good fight under the leadership of Jesus. Conquer the power of this world that Christ has already vanquished. This is the example that we ask God to give us in today's Mass. 4 years ago, Pope Francis went to Korea to beatify another 123 great martyrs of Korea. There he wanted to help not only the Korean Catholics, but all Catholics everywhere, to ponder the example and to profit from its imitation. He illustrated how they showed all of us how to live, the wisdom of God vindicated his own children. Pope Francis said, the victory of martyrs, their witness to the power of God's love, continues to bear fruit in Korea, in the church which received growth from their sacrifice. Soon after the first seeds of faith were planted in this land, the martyrs and the Christian community had to choose between following Jesus or the world. They had heard the Lord's warning that the world would hate them because of him. They knew the cost of discipleship. He went on, for many this meant persecution and later flight to the mountains where they formed Catholic villages. They were willing to make great sacrifices and let themselves be stripped of whatever kept them from Christ, possessions, land, prestige, honor, for they knew that Christ alone was their true treasure. So often today we could find our faith challenged by the world, and in countless ways we are asked to compromise our faith, to water it down the radical demands of the gospel and conform to the spirit of this age. Yet the martyrs call out to us to put Christ first and to see all else in this world in relation to him and to his eternal kingdom. They challenge us to think about what, if anything, we ourselves would be willing to die for. Will we conform ourselves to Christ in his suffering, death, and resurrection, or seek to conform ourselves to the cross-fearing age? Are we willing to die for him who died for us because, like him, a fruitful grain of wheat for the world's salvation died and bared much fruit? Will we be willing to die for ourselves, for Christ and the church, so that we can indeed be experts of communion? Because communion seems to be so opposite of what our world seeks and often demands. The Korean martyrs loved the Word of God and the Word made flesh in the Mass. St. Andrew traveled so long to study to be a priest so that he could bring the sacraments to the people that he loved, especially the Eucharist. It is here in this Mass that we learn to attune ourselves to the melody and the lyrics, if you will, of the angels and the saints who sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, the earth is full of your glory." Or where we learn to chant, "Lord, have mercy," and to sing together in communion, the Our Father. The Eucharist is God's greatest enduring work in which we share liturgically in what the martyrs shared in bodily, Christ's own passion, death, and resurrection. How can we not respond? How can we not respond in the words of Psalm 111? "I give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company and the assembly of the just," and put those words into practice here and now.